Roku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of people in the United States do you think have a Roku?
10?
10%?
Is that too much?
No, that's way too low.
Really?
Yes.
25?
Okay. So I'm wrong. I told Bob, I was like, everybody's got a Roku. And Bob immediately goes, well, I don't have one.
AI says Roku's in nearly half of all U.S. broadband households.
Wow.
Now, is that because you're going out there and seeking it out, or you're buying a TV that already has it? Like
a Roku TV.
Yeah. Because I think maybe I have a Roku TV. I don't know if I do or not. I use the box now.
Because we have a new Roku TV, but we can't figure out how to work it yet.
Well, no, that'll be on that thing forever, right?
They're
scanning for
one.
Channels. Yeah, that'll be up there forever. But you have it, but obviously you don't watch it. Because that's where Major League Baseball is every Sunday. You're like, really?
I didn't know it was on there. I mean, I never watch live Roku TV.
No.
I mean, I watch, my TV in my room has, in my bedroom has Roku, and it's connected to Spectrum and like YouTube and all that sort of stuff. Someone from the 816, I have two from the 816. I don't have one. All right. So it's
about 50%, like the AI said. So
yeah, I have two. I'm about to get a third.
But are you buying it because it's a Roku TV? Or you? Because
I'm just buying the actual Roku box. Like,
oh, the actual thing.
Yeah, the actual thing itself. Yeah, because I can stream my stuff there, and I'll have all my apps on every TV that I own. Kind of just easier.
It's easier that way. Okay, yeah. I see what you're doing for that one. But some people will buy like a Roku TV. Like when I go out and get a new TV, I don't care what it has. What's the price?
100%. Yeah. Yes.
How many payments on Klarna is this going to cost me, and what are they going to be? Like, I don't care if it has Roku TV. Can I get a Fire Stick in there if I need? Does it have a USB port for the box? Fine, let's go. But I mean, we're good to go. But I've never purchased a TV. Oh, that's a Roku TV. I got to have that. Oh, it's $279. That's $260. I'll take the $269.
Yeah, I think I'd like to know the percentage of college dorm rooms or like fraternity houses and sorority houses that have Roku.
And how many of them are actually working and not just on that screenshot of like the cityscape that they have on there?
Puts me to sleep. My big TV is an LG TV. My small TV that you guys are on right now is a Roku. It's my background TV.
Hmm.
Perfect. We have one channel found.
How do we get on the big one?
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to work on that. I have four TVs in my house. All are Roku TVs. All right, Mac, let's get into the Richard of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Bobby, you're number one on the list on this rundown we have, so knock it out of the park.
All right, I'm going with a different one than I originally thought because this one was the way not to do life. This guy was fired from his job, Michael Takis, at 43 years old, and then was allegedly caught on camera placing a bomb under his former boss's car and detonating it 2 months after he was fired from his job. Pennsylvania man is accused of placing a bomb under his former supervisor's car after he was fired from the job, according to the New Jersey District Attorney. This comes from Philadelphia's NBC station. In the early morning hours of July 26, Michael Patrick Takis Jr., 43, was caught on camera driving up to the home of his former supervisor in a dark-colored Jeep Renegade. He was then seen getting out of the Jeep with a black object, walking over to the victim's Ford Explorer before quickly walking away empty-handed and driving off. Moments later, the Jeep can be seen driving very fast past the Ford in seconds leading up to the explosion. Investigators explain that they think Takis used a remote to detonate the explosive device left near the Ford. Can you believe that? Guy got fired 2 months later, goes to the boss's house, leaves a bomb, and blows up his car. That's your Richard of the Week.
That's an insane person.
That is nuts.
Jeez.
Speaking of nuts, the probability that you're drinking a glass of water that contains a water molecule that also passed through a dinosaur is 100%.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
Whoa. That's crazy.
That is awesome.
I'll take some of that T-Rex.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was going to give it to my Richard to these adults who are now using a pacifier.
That's tough.
You're just pretty much a loser at that point in time.
The picture that's in the article is nuts.
Yeah.
It's like a 35-year-old man sucking on a binky.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Stressed adults are now using a pacifier because it brings them back. We didn't allow our kids to use pacifiers.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It looks dumb. It really does. I mean, these kids are walking around at 4 years old, and they still, you talked about the vices earlier. Kids get that vice as the pacifier. Parents get just stick it in their mouth, stick it, And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this kid's five and is still walking around with a pacifier.
Or they're sucking their thumb and it messes up their jaw and their teeth
and all that kind of stuff. So we said from the beginning, we're not doing the pacifier.
Nice.
And it was probably one of the better decisions that we made because we're not going to have adults using pacifiers now. Idiots. I mean, seriously, like what kind of weirdo is an adult 35 years old is walking around with a pacifier?
That's really weird.
I would if it was like filled with bourbon.
Well, that's
like
different.
A tiny hole. I'd be like, all right. 9 o'clock, let's hit that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
No doubt. My Richard of the Week goes to the four-letter network, ESPN. You're ruining everything. Literally, if anybody does anything better in the sports media world, you can't hack it, and you've got to buy them out.
I'm hoping they're buying us soon.
Oh, well.
Buying everything.
You keep these ratings going the way you're doing, Bob. They'll be after us in about another year.
We now own Fesco, Dusty, and Mac. Thank you very much. Wait a second. You can't. They weren't for sale, but we're ESPN. We're just taking everything.
Hey, that's how you get new headphones. They just say ESPN on them. No.
I'll take it. Yeah. Please.
They buy TNT's pregame show. They buy the NFL Network. I know we have a full year until it takes over, so we get to enjoy NFL Network's Red Zone at least for another year.
Mm-hmm.
But ESPN is ruining everything we love because they just can't stand not being the team, not being the guy, not being the station. And ESPN, the way they pay their employees, they pay like four or five of them hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they pay these other people 35% less, and then they fire them. And then they hire college graduates or new people because, oh, yeah, for sure, if I'm 22 years old leaving college, I'll go work for ESPN. Why not? We'll give you $50,000, and then we'll fire you in 4 years. I'm just not a fan of what ESPN's doing. I don't like the fact that they're taking things that are already good and then breaking them. I'm not a fan of that, so ESPN is my Richard of the Week.
And the funny thing is about all this, they haven't broken one thing yet, but everybody just assumes they're going to break it, right? Everybody assumes they're going to mess up inside the NBA. Everybody assumes they're going to mess up Red Zone. That's something that ESPN really needs to think about, knowing that they've purchased these standalone entities in sports that everybody loves. And everybody thinks now that they're under the ESPN umbrella, they're going to mess it up. And if you're ESPN, you need to do some soul searching, man, and go, why does the consumer think we screw everything up? What are we doing wrong? And maybe we need to adjust. And the way you win back consumers, because you're trying to get everybody to spend $30 a month on this app that they're putting out there on the 21st, right? If you want to get these consumers back, don't mess with Red Zone. And don't mess with inside the NBA. Leave them alone. They don't need you meddling, right? That's middle management to a T. Go mess with something that's not broken and let's break it and then fix it. So, you know, like Spectre does sometimes. I can't. but seriously, like ESPN has got a bad reputation in the world, right? People think they're going to mess all this stuff up. If I'm ESPN, I ain't touching it. There's no reason to.
No, exactly.
This is going to get you to sigh, Bob, before we get to Max Richard of the Week. From the 816, my buddy's son is 11 and still uses a pacifier and won't take it away because he doesn't want to hear the kid cry.
See, that's bad parenting right there, man. Your kid's 11 years old.
Jeez.
And he's going like out in public with that? That kid's going to get made fun of, man.
Probably already is.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is. Like, that's bad. That's a bad look.
Yeah, it's not good.
Only rule good. Is that he can't use it at school. Bad parenting. That's what it says. The next text.
Yeah, it is.
It's funny you're talking down on ESPN. Carrington talks highly of this move at 2 o'clock today from the text. Go ahead, Matt.
I'd say, I mean, a third dildo this week on the WNBA courts. I think it's getting
another
to the
one
point.
Last night,
but
another,
it wasn't green.
No, this it was purple. Yeah.
Okay, purple this time. It's just getting to the point. Like it was kind of funny the first time, whatever, and now it's getting to the point where it's. It's weird.
It's stale.
It's stale. It's weird.
It's
just
also
like,
very rude.
It's just rude. You're being a
T, man.
It's
insulting.
Yeah, it's insulting. It's gross. It's at this point, it's getting like creepy almost. It's like, what are you doing? Like, we're having to do bag policies now at WNBA games. Can't bring bags. We're going to be patting people down. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. Like the first one again, haha, whatever. Now it's a trend and now everyone's trying to do it. I mean, I hope they keep catching these guys like they did that last guy.
See that guy who got arrested for throwing it onto the court
popped,
a couple
man.
Weeks ago? He looks like a guy who would be doing
his
something like that.
His name was Caden.
Yeah.
Was
he's
it really?
18. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That sounds like his name's Caden.
Yeah, probably played youth league baseball and then got priced out, and now he's throwing, you know, sex toys onto a floor.
Somebody said the Green Goblin got arrested.
But, I mean, that kid, I mean, good Lord.
Rough.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Stop that. Yeah, yeah. It's insulting to the women who are out there trying to play. You know, yeah. It really is. And here's the other thing. If you don't like the product, then don't go and don't watch it.
Don't watch.
You know, these people who think they have to consume a product because it's available to them and then complain about it, I've just never understood that. My whole life has been, if I don't like something, I probably don't participate in that.
Yeah, that's great. And if you like it, then that's awesome for you. I mean, these are women that are trying hard to make a league and get something going.
Yeah.
Just throwing sex toys on the court.
So insulting to them.
To the point where it's over. Yeah.
Somebody said for the 913, I can't wait till the suction cup side sticks to the floor or the backboard.
Jeez.
Do you imagine you threw like a dart at the backboard and just stuck?
Like men's 12, wieners.
12 feet high. You have to reach up and try to get it down.
I'm trying to say they're richer, Dusty. Come on.
Sorry.
No, they are. It's not funny anymore. It really isn't. It's like it's very immature. It's stupid and it's insulting to these women.
Yeah,
and,
it's past the point.
And I feel bad for them because they're trying their asses
off. They are trying.
You know, the league is trying. Like the networks are trying. Everybody's doing good things for the WNBA. And this is the topic of conversation that people are talking about. You know, it goes to what I've been trying to tell you guys for the last year. Ain't about the games. Never has been. It's about everything else that takes place. The biggest stories in the WNBA are the fights between the players and sex toys being thrown on the floor. I couldn't tell you who's a good WNBA team this year. Couldn't. I have no idea who's a good WNBA team.
Yeah, me either.
My buddy Travis said the first one that sticks midcourt is the wiener.
The wiener?
Sorry. Some news out of Fox Sports about their announcing team, plus who's going to replace Terry Bradshaw.
What?
That's right, man. He's out. Or I'm sorry, not Terry Bradshaw. What's his name? Used to coach the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson's out.
Yes.
He retired last year.
So his,
I totally missed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't on the pregames last year?
Yeah.
He was. No, he retired.
Yeah. Oh, he retired. Okay, yeah.
He was replaced by somebody you got in the way of, Mac. We talk about it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Ganging up on Ashton Jeanty on X, formerly Twitter, today. Have you seen this one that says Ashton Jeanty when he isn't facing Colorado State at 12 a.m. on the CW? And it's a picture of like a Packers lineman or a
Eddie
CFL.
Lacy.
Is it
Eddie Lacy?
That's Eddie Lacy.
It got pretty rough for him at the end.
Well, it did at the end. That's Eddie Lacy. I thought that was like number 97. Oh, my God. See this again with this preseason stuff, man. People act like this stuff matters and they start running down guys, man. Yeah.
I watched the three carries. One, he got like there was no chance for him, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. As he got the ball, two guys are right in his face, and then the other two were like whatever carries. I didn't take much from it. Like you said, Bob, I mean, how much can you really take from a lot of it?
Nothing.
Yeah. You say more than nothing, but it's less than most.
But
most.
As a general fan, if you're waking up today and you're mad that Ashton Jeanty had three carries for negative 1 yard.
Geek.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, I hate to be this guy. You need some balance in your life, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're waking up this morning.
Probiotics.
And you're mad that, you know, whatever happened in a preseason, unless you're a Bengal fan and you saw your defense get, you know, trucked last night by the second team.
You
could
be worried
Eagles,
about that.
You should be concerned about that. But anything else, I mean, come on now. What are we doing here? Like, you're not going to play Ashton Jeanty a lot. And, of course, remember, Pete Carroll's his coach. He's throwing the ball.
Matt got shamed on the text line about not knowing that Jimmy Johnson retired.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Oh, my God. Big deal. He didn't know something.
My fault.
Don't forget today, Cody and Gold in the Drive will be broadcasting live from the Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. Jay Binkley filling in for Carrington Harrison out there.
Half of what I did yesterday.
They'll be registering fans to get a signed Charles Mihu football plus a pair of tickets to the Chiefs/Colts game. If you followed Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X, you have a chance at their giveaway of $100 pin cash today every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll get into the Chiefs next chapter, but before we do that, the next chapter of Fox has been announced. Their number one crew, we already know that, Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, and Tom Rinaldi. They're going to open up with that Giants-Commanders game.
That's their one game? Jesus.
That's their week one game. Then they're going to go to the Chiefs and Eagles, and then it's Cowboys-Bears.
So they have one good game in the first three. I mean, Giants commodes is the number one game on Fox.
Yeah, why?
I know the NFC AFC doesn't matter anymore because they bid, right?
Yeah, so
that's out the window.
Yeah, but I think there's still a little bit of a lean towards the NFC and AFC on the two networks, but really? The Giants and commodes is who you're rolling with on opening day? Probably because Dallas is playing on Thursday night in that preseason game before the regular season starts on Friday.
And that's NBC, right?
Yeah, so they're not going to get that. But Fox has always said, we'll put every Dallas Cowboy game on. We can't because people still watch the Dallas Cowboys. But that doesn't mean you need to roll with the Giants and commodes. I mean, that's a bad matchup right there. I don't think New York wants to watch that, you know? Yeah. So that's the number one game. Then they got to go Dallas-Chicago? Good Lord.
Well, they go Philly and
Philly Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Oh, Philly then Chiefs is week Dallas, two. Then yeah. Dallas, Chicago week three.
So they get the hammer in the second week, but then they get two nails in the other two. Fox also announced that with Jimmy Johnson now retired, Mac, Rob Gronkowski will officially replace him in the studio, joining Kurt Menefee, Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, and Michael Strahan at the desk.
Yeah. Get out of the way, Gronk's coming, geek.
Twenty foot wide concourse. What are you doing?
I mean, they could have just walked. They didn't even have to acknowledge us. That's how big this concourse was.
It's ridiculous.
And they were all spread out like these important people were walking by, and it's Glazer, Strahan, and Gronk. Right?
Get out of the way!
Yeah, some goon. I think that was the guy who was Chris Jones's agent 2 years ago up in the booth with like the JCPenney suit on. That guy. Telling us to get out of the way because Gronk is well. Who the hell cares?
That was so funny. Max, like, the hell did I do? I was like, nothing.
No, it's just people thinking they're more important.
So important. Yeah.
Mac had a rough post Super Bowl game. You got the stare down from Andy Reid. You got told to get the F out of the way from Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm mourning my Chiefs.
Security was like, get over here. You cannot stand there.
Do not look at another adult in the eyes. This is the NFL. You will respect this person.
Josina Anderson was talking to us like, who are these people? We're like, we don't know, Joe. We're just here to get out of here.
She tried to tell me that she needed to be first in line. Yeah.
She ratted out Bob. She was like, well, he's down there.
He's over there.
I was having a conversation with somebody pretty high up in the organization. So if one of the high ranking officials in the organization pulled me aside and wanted to talk.
Yeah.
That
God forbid you didn't get the scoop.
It was
elementary school all over the time. He's over there. Why is he over there? It's like, because he's been invited over there.
It was a total, that was an S show.
And kept trying to get that in front of us.
She kept trying to box me. And then finally said to me, she goes, I was here first. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Don't care, dude. Shut up.
Really doesn't matter. Like, she couldn't have been any just nastier in that whole scrum. I think very jealous that she didn't get the, hey, come here, let me talk to you for a second conversation from the person that called me over after that Super Bowl. So all these people that think they're important, man. And it wasn't Gronk and Strahan. It was his handler.
Yeah, it was exactly. They didn't say anything. It's just this little guy. Hey, get out of the way, guys. Hey.
Who are you, man? Step aside.
Hey, quick shout out before we move on to Gary and Nolan, who sent me some money for headphones on Venmo. So
nice.
That's so awesome. Very nice of you guys. Doing something nice for somebody on a Friday.
Yeah,
love
that's
it.
Awesome, man.
Changes your day, your week, and your ears.
hopefully your ears. Yeah, because both of them, that's getting worse as the show's gone on. Yeah, it's unsavory right now. You got to go.
From the text line, Gronk's analysis is going to be great. Me, no football. Gronk, see pass. Pass, no good.
He should do it like that.
And then somebody says, great. Can't wait to have them have a bit where he spikes something every single episode. Stale.
I can't believe it's already year 32 for the NFL on Fox. I remember when it switched over. That's how old I am.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I remember like CBS lost the NFL and we're like, oh my God, what's going to happen with Madden and Summerall and all? I mean, for generations we watched on CBS and NBC. And then this new network that wasn't even available in most of the United States is like, we've got Tracy Ullman, this little bit during her show called The Simpsons, Married with Children, and the NFL. And everybody's like, oh my God. And then like every network that, you know, started changing over to Fox, and then Fox grew to become this behemoth. And I think they're the best of all of the networks that televise these games. I think Fox is still the best when it comes to televising the game. Their overall product is much better, in my opinion, than anybody else's. They've done a great job. They've redefined the way that football is televised. And when the CBS switch happened, they didn't try to reinvent the wheel. You know what they did? They hired all of those people who made it work at CBS behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They hired John Madden and Pat Summerall, put them front and center, Everybody felt comfortable with what was going on. They never missed a beat, and then they just grew the NFL coverage from there. And I think Fox for 32, I can't believe it's been 32 years, for God's sakes. Jesus, where's the time gone?
That was six.
I'm beginning to really like these Clark speeches at the beginning of training camp.
Because
the last one I remember was like, we're going to win this thing. And they went up and they won it. And it became like the theme the whole year of him addressing the team at training camp. I really like that. That's passion right there by the guy that's running the franchise, right? Like, you love to see that, that, hey, we're all in this together. I'm not just some owner who's going to blame my general manager for the bad picks like they do in Cleveland. I'm here with you guys. I'm up here living in the dorm at times too. So I like it, man. Like, if your owner's speaking to you like that, it's time to go to work.
Yeah, that is the kingdom, which is the, what is it? The follow along of the Chiefs season. You have that, the franchise, all this sort of stuff coming out. You have a bunch of Chiefs content, which of course the video that we just played starts off with Trey Smith and Travis Kelce walking off just completely disheveled with Philadelphia confetti flying everywhere. We know that feeling all too well as we were there.
Yeah.
It was very brutal. You were just ready for the next season to start almost immediately. But yeah, I think we'll all tune into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to be a well-done production.
And then next week, I think it starts the ESPN version, right, of that show that we're going to, you know, see that they've got the Kingdom stuff that they do on their website, the Toss Power, 65 Toss Power Trap does every week, the Kingdom show, and then this one on ESPN. Like, all this stuff surrounding the Chiefs is good, man. I like all this kind of stuff. Watch all of it. Consume it all, because about 5-10 years, it can be featuring somebody else because this run's going to be over. So embrace it while it's here.
So ESPN buys the NFL Network, they buy TNT, and now they're trying to buy the Chiefs.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the ESPN is now owning the Chiefs. Could you imagine? Well, hey, I wouldn't put anything past anybody right now in the NFL, because they're all parceling off small portions of their teams, because most of these guys know they're never going to see an ROI, because you don't make any money until you sell the team, and nobody wants to do that. But if you sell 5% here or 10% there, you can bring yourself back a nice check. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw ESPN as now 2% owners of some sort of professional sports team.
Yeah, because what, Disney owns ESPN? Mm-hmm. So it's really just Disney buying the entire world. Sounds like Monopoly 101. I thought it was interesting what Mitch Holthus had to say yesterday. We had him on the show talking about the Travis Kelce day, and he had this to say about Travis Kelce in the upcoming year and what to expect.
He sees it, but he did say strategic. He said, I was very strategic in my workout this offseason, and I'm going to be strategic in the way I approach this season. Now, I told you, 11,220 snaps. I mean, the fact that we've had all these extra playoff games, and these are hard. This is like high-leverage pitches in baseball. But he's trying to work, and Noah Gray's been good, but at some point, either by formation or by just pulling him out some, like, hey, this is the time we can buy Kelce maybe 4 or 5 snaps instead of grinding him into the ground. Now, this would be easier said than done, because, you know, hey, we're going to give him 50 snaps this game, and Mahomes is screaming, where's Kelce? Where's Kelce? And all of a sudden he plays 74 snaps. That's the kind of the way it works. But at least Kelce says he's going to be strategic in the way he approaches this season.
I agree with everything that they're saying there, and I've been saying for years that the regular season – doesn't matter in the NFL when you're the Chiefs. And for years, Spector would scream at me, how could you say the regular season doesn't matter? Because it doesn't. All that matters with the Chiefs is January and February. And what you do in January and February is all that matters. And I think he really got mad at me saying the regular season didn't matter 2 years ago when they were 11-6. And then they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And I do remember Spector going, okay, I guess you're right, just like he is with the real music, as we found out yesterday. But the regular season doesn't matter. The regular season is the preseason for a team like the Chiefs, for a team like the Bills right now. Who are your perennial playoff teams? The Eagles are probably in that category.
Ravens.
Maybe it's probably the Ravens, I would think. This year, maybe not for the Lions, but if they kept everything intact, I would say you're probably on that page, you know, a little bit with the Lions right now. But there's a handful of teams where you're just playing to get ready for the playoffs. And the Chiefs are one of those. And if Travis Kelce takes plays off in week 7 and isn't playing 60 plays or 70 plays in week 7, because they're using that as a quote unquote load management, well, that's the smart thing to do, because the last thing you want to do is see Travis Kelce get hurt and not be able to play when it matters. And so I do like the load management thing on the surface. Now, if you get in a game and it's close, then you're going to have to play Travis Kelce, and best laid plans, as you know, get thrown out the window from time to time. So I like the idea going in, and in fact, I'd expand it even further. I'd do it with Worthy. I'd do it with Rashi Rice. I definitely do it with Hollywood Brown, and clearly I would do it with the running backs.
Yeah, I think the running back is just more so like committee. I think you'll see that the way they use Pacheco and Kareem Hunt will be different than the way they maybe use Elijah Mitchell or Rashard, right? Like, I think that's like two different ways that they'll do that. Worthy, I think, will play a ton of snaps. I think that guy's just so young and so agile that I think he'll be there. But Travis Kelce, Mac and I have kind of told you guys this year, like, we don't need to see him have 900 yards. Don't need to see him have 800 yards. I'd be fine if Travis Kelce had 750 yards and 8 touchdowns, because that would mean that he's absolutely crucial when it comes to third and short. Like, when Keenan Allen went to the Chargers, right? Keenan Allen ain't Keenan Allen anymore. But Keenan Allen will be that guy where it's like third and four, and Herbert will find him because they'll have five plays that are bread and butter that they know they can complete 80% of the time. Whereas, like, now, whereas Travis Kelce was always read option one when it came to Patrick Mahomes, now it's going to be like, hey, third and short, Kelce, this is our time. No one can stop that. So whereas we find importance for Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco to get those third and shorts, it will be very, very vital for Travis Kelce when it's third and five, third and six, to just hit that six-yard route and be like, this is now unstoppable. It's not the 125 in a touchdown game on 8 catches. Now it's going to be like 6 for 45.
And plays that matter.
And it's going to be the one that moves the chains and keeps the clock moving. Yep. It's that next man mentality where it comes to, yeah, we can spread the field with Xavier Worthy. We can run the yak routes with Rashi Rice. We can get Hollywood Brown on swing routes. We can do all these sort of things. But when it comes to third and five, where you've got to be crispy and you got to be precise, that's where you take five plays in St. Joe and say, these three plays are designated for this side of the field. These two are designated for this side of the field. And Travis and Patrick Mahomes, who have that chemistry already, can really lock in on those key plays.
Yeah, the moral of the story is, don't be drafting Travis Kelce on your fantasy team and then getting mad when he doesn't produce the numbers that you expect Travis Kelce to produce. And I think that's really the only folks who get mad at the production of players are the folks who have them on their fantasy team. And for me, I don't have a fantasy team. So to me, the end result is all that matters. The intricacy of the game I enjoy watching, and sometimes guys are going to be, you know, taken out of a game. It happens. Like, there are professional athletes on both sides of the field. We tend to forget that a lot when we analyze sports. Sometimes other teams just have a good game plan and they're able to take Travis Kelce out of the game plan and he doesn't have a big day, or maybe the game plan wasn't designed for Travis Kelce on that particular day. So that's why I say, and I've said it for years, you know, I've done interviews around the country, who should we take as our fantasies? Nobody on this team other than, you know, Patrick Mahomes is somebody that I could really genuinely say would be a good fantasy player, because Rice is going to miss games. We don't know a whole lot yet about Worthy because he only has the track record. Hollywood Brown, who the hell knows? Travis Kelce may see, you know, limited reps this year, as Mitch was talking about. None of the running backs are really going to produce that much from a fantasy standpoint. So I would take Harrison Butker and Patrick Mahomes if you're asking from a fantasy standpoint, because Mahomes is obviously the one doling it all out and Butker's going to get his kicks.
You're also missing a key one, which is the Chiefs defense.
Chiefs defense. Yeah, I was going to suggest the Chiefs defense as well as part of that.
Yeah,
but individual players, skill players on offense, I'd stay away from them.
Oh, I'm still taking Rashi Rice. I'm still, and again, it all goes to ADP. Like, I'm not taking Xavier Worthy in the third round. I would take Rashi Rice in the third round if he was down there, because people are worried about his injury. But again, that's where the geek side of fantasy football comes in, because if you go receiver, receiver, then you don't go Rashi Rice. But if you go running back, running back, you're like, okay, I think Jahmyr Gibbs and, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey, I got in the second round with like the fourth pick in the second round. I think those guys can carry me until Rashi Rice gets back and you have Rashi Rice on your bench for 4 or 5 weeks. And then you go get those receivers that maybe people are passing on that forgot about. Like, maybe people are taking Malik Nabers, you know, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, all these guys. And you're like, oh, wow, Brian Thomas Jr. is still there in the second round or the third round early. Bing, taking that guy. Sure. And then all of a sudden you look at your team 5-6 weeks into the season, you're like, I have Brian Thomas Jr., I have Terry McLaurin, who's a holdout, and I've got Rashi Rice, plus I have Gibbs, plus I have McCaffrey. I'll hoist my trophy up as well. In fact, I'd probably give you a 40% chance at winning that, because we know what Stephen A. Smith thinks.
Give him about a 40% chance.
Yeah.
Stops there. When you get your ass kicked, like they got their ass kicked, it's a different animal. Go to the highlights. Third quarter of the Super Bowl. They did not cross midfield until the third quarter. Think about that. Their first 9 possessions was 5 plays or less. They got stomped. And Andy Reid looked ill-equipped to do anything about it.
I will
Patrick
say
Mahomes looked ill-equipped to do anything about it. So when you have those ingredients, it's one thing if you unbeatable, D. Woody.
Yeah.
But okay. When somebody shows you a vulnerability, okay, you like, oh, damn, I didn't see that before when they lost to Tampa Bay years ago. That was strictly about an offensive line that couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes.
You don't think that was the case this time
I'm not saying that wasn't the case. I'm saying it was one of many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. They got stalled. Well,
how soon, if I was debating Stephen A. Smith, could I get him to scream at me?
2 seconds.
You think it would be that long? Because the first of all, I would start with the 40% thing. That's just
about a 40% chance.
That's very ignorant, and we'll tell you why in just 1 second. But after he finished bloviating there, I would have looked at Stephen A. Smith and I would have said,
"You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking
about." No, I would have said, "What does the Super Bowl game have to do with anything that's going to take place this season?" And then he would start screaming at me, "Did you not watch the game? Did you not see how bad they played?" And then I would say calmly,
"Sounds like Mad Dog.
What does that have to do with what's going to happen this year with
this team?
Give about a
40% chance."
And then he would scream at me again, "I guess you didn't see how bad they were." And I'm like, "No, I saw, but I don't know what one thing has to do with the other. I don't see how a bad Super Bowl in February translates into this team being done when they went out and addressed the issues, the offensive line, got better on the offensive line. And oh, by the way, I would imagine that now once this season starts, guys probably aren't going to have the bubble guts like they did in that game. And we're puking and pooping all over the sidelines because they were all sick. Steven?
They got stomped, Bob. Yeah, they got stomped. Right.
But that's all he would do. He would just yell back low-hanging fruit, and the loudest guy always seemingly
for sure
wins, right? I would be calm with that. But the 40% thing.
Give about a 40% chance.
That's him. Like that's about as ignorant as you can come, because the number one team's chance to win the Super Bowl this year is Buffalo. And the odds say 20% chance to win the Super Bowl, and that is the highest.
No, it's not.
Give about a 40% chance.
So if you're giving the Chiefs a 40% chance to win the Super Bowl, you're giving them more than double chance to win than what the odds makers say are the highest percentage chance to win the Super Bowl, Buffalo at 20%. A 40% chance to win the Super Bowl is astronomically high.
That guy's an idiot, man.
I mean, dude, like Colin Cowherd and Stephen A. Smith, man, it may sound good on TV and feel good on TV, but at the end of the day, a lot of the stuff that these guys are peddling is just factually wrong.
Well, I don't think that.
Well, also, it's like you say all that to Stephen A. Bob, and you're right in your points, but also we saw them literally do this already.
That's right.
They got their asses kicked in a Super Bowl, and they came back. They were in the AFC Championship, and then after that, they won 2 Super Bowls in a row.
Right.
They made 3.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
That's the other thing. There's a track record for this.
Yes. We have a data. We've seen this, dude. We've already seen it, man. And the same pieces are in place. The same GM, the same quarterback, the same head coach. They're all still here from the last time.
Right.
Shove it.
Don't think, just do. Piss me off.
That's right. We wrap the show on the other side. You're on 96.5. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. What?
Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Mully as well. Gonna go get some new headphones after work today. Gonna go right over to Target. Gonna rip some packs. You know where to find those cards at? I can tell you right when you walk in the store. I think I've showed you before. Tonight, preseason football, Lions, Falcons, Browns, Panthers, Commandos, and Patriots. So we get to see Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. We get to see Bryce Young versus Shedeur Sanders. And we get to see probably nobody for the Lions. I feel like they don't play preseason games.
Who is their backup quarterback?
Shane Rosenfeld.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he was like everybody's backup quarterback for like 100 years?
Kyle Allen.
Oh, yeah. We just saw
that's right. We talked about Kyle Allen, didn't we?
And Hendon Hooker. Yeah. Yeah. Hendon Hooker should play over Kyle Allen, but whatever.
Because Hendon Hooker and Kyle Allen play in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. That's right. Who are the Lions playing, did you say? The Falcons.
Falcons.
And so
Michael
will,
Penix.
Will we see Penix in that game tonight?
Absolutely.
I would hope so. I don't think he's to that level yet where he can't be playing in the preseason.
He didn't
play
at all last preseason.
You think there's more eyes on Shador Sanders tonight or more eyes on Travis Hunter on Saturday?
Shador's the answer to that question, I think. He's the quarterback, and he's the guy that, you know, we were talking about Shador Sanders for 2 years being a number one pick in the draft, and then he was sent to the fifth round. And picked in Cleveland. Like, if you could have scripted a worse scenario for Shador Sanders, other than not getting drafted, fifth round to Cleveland, and you're the fourth quarterback, I'm just interested to see as a human being how he handles all of this. I think it's really interesting, kind of a case study, if you will, how he handles all of this. Because if he was a number one pick, a first round pick, he'd come in with hype, he'd be the starting quarterback, all that kind of stuff. This guy's been humbled. Does he understand that he's been humbled? Does he work hard? Does he, you know, put everything into this? Or does he still think he's a number one pick and feels like he got, you know, jobbed, if you will, by falling all the way to the fifth round? So there's so much from a human element standpoint in this whole Shador Sanders thing. I'm excited. I'm rooting for him. And I want him to crush it tonight for the Cleveland Browns.
Mac, you're going to have more eyes on your biggest bust, and Travis Hunter, you're going to have more eyes on Shador Sanders.
Yeah, probably the biggest bust, just because I have more writing on that take, so I'll probably be watching him. But yeah, Bob's right. Shador Sanders is going to be the big story.
Hey, by the way, baby, how you doing?
Like, we're not going to know much about Travis Hunter after these preseason games. You know, were the plays designed for him and all that kind of stuff? You don't know. You can see a quarterback. You know, it's
for
easier.
Sure. What I will be watching with Hunter is, I guess, just like, how much is he playing on both sides? And then that's not even indicative of what we'll see in the regular season, maybe, but it could be. Who knows, right? It'll just be interesting to kind of watch how much they play him. By the way, Penix and Cousins, both not going to play.
Both not. Who's playing quarterback for the Falcons?
Easton Stick.
And people are paying money for that.
Easton Stick, baby.
Easton Stick.
Wow. Easton Stick is still a thing.
It sounds like something gets thrown onto a WNBA court.
Good Lord. Sounds like a kid playing youth league baseball.
Easton Stick. It does. He have one.
Yeah. Outside of the left field area is Easton Stick.
How many quarterbacks are on their roster?
I think they mentioned another guy after Easton Stick. I didn't bother remembering that
name. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know, but yeah.
Well, I was just wondering if he's going to play the whole damn game.
Yeah, exactly. How much? Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Penix didn't play last year either. I don't get that.
Von Miller was quoted as seeing the Broncos being good to competent as, it's like seeing your old girlfriend with a new man and she's happy.
Dude, you moved on like 10 years ago from the Broncos.
You come to the Chiefs if you want. We know how much you like Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he left there a long time ago. Like, so what if they're doing good? You're like the Bills, now you're on Washington, or who is he with now? He's in the NFC East, isn't he?
Well, he was on the Rams before that.
Right. Oh, no, maybe he's with the Bills now.
I think he's still with the Bills. He's still with the Bills.
So he's had a couple of teams removed from Denver days. You know, that's...
Yeah, it's probably been 7 or 8 years.
A long time, I feel like he's
feels
been
like
gone.
It's been that long.
Terrell Suggs might be in some hot water.
Really?
He was in a Starbucks dispute video. Shows him shat, like, flashing a gun out of his driver's side.
No.
Mm-hmm. Go to TMZ 40 minutes ago.
Damn it.
Come on, Terrell.
Dude, what are you doing? What an idiot.
I mean, you'll get your venti, I promise.
He says.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go to TMZ, he's just sitting outside his car holding the gat. It's like, come on, baby. Keep that thing inside, man. It's not worth it. What is worth it is that we are finally to the weekend. Guys, it was a fun week. We had a big show yesterday. Bob, what are you doing this weekend?
I've got a golf tournament tomorrow that we're going to go for my friend Jeff up north in Cameron, Chillicothe, someplace like that.
Chilitown?
For the Ronald McDonald House. I think it is actually Chillicothe because I'm going to get some sliced bread while I'm up there. So,
is there a place up there that has good sliced bread?
Chillicothe is the home of sliced bread. Don't you know that?
I have family up here.
Let's go. You need to know these things, man.
Well, I never know like when you're trolling or you're serious. And so like when you're like, oh, yeah, Chillicothe, home of the sliced bread. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then it's like actually true. And I'm like, sometimes I hate him.
Yeah.
It's like when he told me the what's the chicken pot pie brand? The Mary. It's like when you
Marie
told
Callender's.
Yeah, she's from Kansas City.
Yeah. Marie grew up here. Yeah. She's Jasper's sister.
So stupid.
Ask him.
I'll ask him for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, if
she's
it's
not really my sister, Mac. Bob's just being a dick.
Exactly. Oh, he's on the commodes. He's on the commodes. You're right.
He is on the commodes.
You're right.
There you go.
Hey, how about that? Point. I was like, I knew he was somewhere nice. Else. Like, you're now three teams removed from the Broncos. Yes. You've been married for 30 years. Forget about your eighth grade girlfriend, bro. Seriously. Like, move on.
He's wearing number 24, apparently.
What's the significance of that?
Yeah.
Champ Bailey. Both played in Denver and Washington.
Maybe.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Was that even Champ Bailey's number 24? Yeah,
I think it was, yeah.
So golf tournament, sliced bread.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Watch a little Chiefs game on Saturday, kind of take it a little easy this weekend. Not a whole lot going on, so.
Heck yeah.
This is like your last weekend of like relaxation, right? Is that what we were talking about on Monday? Like this weekend, you don't have anything
like
going on?
Like this weekend, we don't have much going on, but then it really picks up. Like every Friday and Saturday from here till the end of the year is, you know, something going on.
Yeah, busy.
Like cheerleading to soccer, to after school activities. To
all kinds of stuff, whatever it over? Is. No, swimming is, that's a 6-week done? Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quick and done. But I mean, I'm sure everybody kind of look at their schedule like, you know, next week we've got stuff going on, the following week we got a concert we're going to, then the following week after that we got Jerry's 80th birthday party, and then of course the 30th is the big day for the Ohio State versus opponent here game that we're all going to watch at 11 a.m. and at breakfast for, and then that's Labor Day weekend, and then football season starts,
and then we're here
every weekend. Here we are. I mean, we got football games here, I got two weddings in September. I mean, like, it is a busy time. So I'm just going to kind of enjoy the couple of days that I get where nothing's going on and just kind of treasure those, because I know after this weekend it's full steam ahead, fellas.
Two weddings and are you and Jen renewing your vows?
I wish.
Will you do that?
We might.
Yeah, like in like knows? An exotic location, just you and the kids or something like that?
I don't know. We've kind of talked about, you know, doing maybe something, but again, maybe we don't even want to renew our vows with each other at that point in time in 3 years. You know, who knows? She may look at me and go, we're done here.
It's over.
She's like, I do forever. You're like, I don't. Oh, I thought we were both agreed. Never mind. I do for sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't even know if she's going to want to renew her vows with me in a couple of years.
Are we doing any theater this year? Are the daughters doing any shows? Mm-mm. Damn.
No. Those days are done.
Those days are done. Yep. Dang it.
Sports and cheerleading.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Not for everyone.
But who knows?
I mean, I would have showed up.
Who knows what's going to happen? You know, things change on a whim.
Yeah. Dusty, what you got this weekend?
I'm going to get after it tonight. The birthday was on a Thursday, so we're going to do that. My buddy's going to have some people over, and then we're going to hit up some live music, see what bands are playing, either Llewellyn's or Stewie's, and have a probably too many Surfsides and too many Good. Miller Lights at the same time, just double fist, just, you know, kind of get after it, see if 38 still got it. Probably not. I got nothing going on tomorrow other than the Chiefs game at 7, so watch a little preseason football tonight. Watch the Royals. Bet on Salvador Perez to a home run, plus the Royals to win on the money line, plus $675. So $10 to win a net of $67. So I'm down with that. But yeah, watching the Royals closely against these Twins, and then also watching Saturday football, and then getting after it tonight, starting by 8:00.
That'll be fun, man.
You get new headphones this weekend?
Yeah, I'll get maybe. We'll see. No promises.
You look like they should be playing like a Sarah McLachlan song, In the Arms of an Angel.
It's not for a bit, like a dead pet.
His ears look like it. Just $1 a day could give you new headphones. Look at this sad puppy.
I have not had these that long. Oh, now I'm pressing them up. It's nice to hear myself.
Who makes those headphones? What did you say they work on?
The Odeo, the One Odeo.
Oh, the Odeo.
The Odeo ones. Yeah. I've liked them, but now twice.
That's how people who can't say they are say Rodeo.
Yeah. Rodeo.
How long have you had those?
Year and a half? 2 years?
You said this is your second pair of
those? Second pair in the last now 4 years.
How much do those cost a piece?
40-ish bucks.
So that's $80 that you've already spent on them. That's about a third of, you know. But you figure another 4 years, you'll buy another pair.
Buy another pair, yeah.
Or another 2 years. Another year and a half.
Every 2 years, every year and a half, 2 years. I don't know if that's enough. That's what I'm saying.
It is. Because, again, okay. I've had these, you know, for over a decade.
Did you get them at Costco?
No, I got them, I think I just...
They have those at Costco.
Or whatever. But the problem is, and I'm being serious about this, hard to find headphones with a cord.
Yes. Mm. No, you're right. You got to get the adapter or something. No, it's a whole deal. Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm playing some pickleball this weekend. Me and Drew
that's
getting
right.
after it. It's going to be great, me and Drew. So I'm keeping, you know, the pride of our show intact. So I'm going to get a dub for us. And then, just watching the Chiefs and hanging out.
That's right. From the 816, wish me luck. I'm selling my house and have an open house all weekend. I have to keep the toddler entertained for 3 days straight.
Whew, that's fun.
True Green Thumb says he and his wife renewed their vows 10 years in.
They got married the same day we did.
Nice.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this weekend. Shout out to my wife on our 15th wedding anniversary.
Nice. Have fun with that. Yeah. Good job out of you guys. It's a long time, 15 years, man. This day and age, hell.
Bob, you're playing in Cameron. That's my course. Great tourney for a great cause.
Ah, that's right. Cameron, Missouri. Absolutely. That's where
we're
going.
First name James, last name Cameron. Hey, somebody did it for Mac today. You can do it too. Do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy, Kansas City. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew live at Hollywood Casino. We'll talk to you on Monday.